much that has gone before, and trust that you did as well. Certainly what Brother Joe has spoken to us about this morning is hard not only to listen to sometimes, it's hard to preach, and appreciate Brother Joe's kind spirit in the way that he did, and hope that you'll continue to pray for us with time we stand before you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to Psalm 73. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at a verse here in Psalm 73. I'd like to look at a different verse this morning, and recognizing that in the verse that we looked at last time and the verse we're going to look at today, it really doesn't address the whole psalm and what is under consideration here, but trust the Lord will bless us in what we have on our mind this morning. Psalm 73, verse 24. It says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." You know, it's very impressive to read a verse of Scripture that seems to sum up your whole life. And this verse, he does. He says, "Thou shalt," this is addressed to God, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory." I don't know what else our life consists of than that. God shall guide us with His counsel. I trust that in the days that we walk in this life, that your experience is that God guides you with His counsel. Now, what exactly does that mean? Well, God guides us, and we can look at that in the sense of, if you've ever been on a tour of a place that you've never been before, oftentimes you'll have a tour guide. Now, that's someone who has been there before, and that's someone who not only has been there before, is very experienced and knowledgeable, and can not only guide you, but show you everything. You and I are following a leader, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He's been here before. And He knows the way in which we take, and He's well qualified to guide us here in this life. And I would say that this is the job of a shepherd, to guide the sheep to green pastures and to different places. And I find the Bible tells us in Psalm or Isaiah 49 verse 10 that He guides us by springs of waters. That tells me that in this dry and desert land in which we live, if we're following the guidance of the Lord, our souls won't be thirsty because He is leading us to springs of waters. He leads us beside the still waters. He guides us to the waters. And He can produce water from a rock, even if you're in the wilderness. Brother Joe mentioned peace. If you go to Luke chapter 1, verse 79, you'll find that God, it says, will guide us in the way of peace. And so, following the guidance of God will lead you to the way of peace. Now, by nature, Romans 3 says, the way of peace they have not known. By nature, we don't know that way of peace. Instead, we know the way of strife by nature. But God's guidance and His counsel guides us to the way of peace. I find in John chapter 16, verse 13, that your guide that Jesus has given to us is the Holy Ghost. He's your guide. In fact, a preacher, in preaching a sermon, he should follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You and the decisions you face in life, I'm not going to get into the mass this morning, but the decisions that you make, and you have the freedom to make them, I trust you follow the guidance of the Holy Ghost in the decisions that you make. If we're going to follow the way of peace, there are going to be people that disagree with us. I tell you, when it comes to personal preferences, You want to talk about what divides people? It's preference. I'll just mention this in passing, but I get around these folks from Texas, and they get talking about their barbecue. Now, I'm going to tell you, I won't have it. I mean, I've tried it. I don't like it. I've given it a shot, but I just go soon go to Letha's down there in Hattiesburg. That's the best barbecue I've ever had. But that's my preference. And that's their preference. And preferences divide people. But I'll tell you what unites people is principles. When it comes to the Lord's counsel, the Lord's guidance, He's given us guiding principles. And that's what brings people together. It's not our personal preference. That will never bring people together. What will bring people together into the way of peace is God's counsel. God guides us with His counsel. You know, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, I'm sure you're familiar with the verse. It says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And thou shalt call his name Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace." And so we see that when you're talking about someone who can counsel you, he's the counselor. He's the one that you go to for advice. That's what counsel means. It is advice to, and our opinions to give people a judgment and a guidance in the direction of their life. We need that guiding counsel. And Brother Joe has gone over some of Jesus's counsel for you and I. I'm going to tell you what Brother Joe presented to us this morning. That is very difficult to do. All the things that he said, that is hard to do. But if you are offended, you have a responsibility to follow those steps in Matthew 18. If you're offended, that's your responsibility if you want to remain in peace. Sometimes someone offends you and they don't even know they offended you. They would continue going on down that path and never know that they've offended you. I'll tell you, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'll tell you, there's some things I'm more concerned about than just offending someone. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Apostle Paul talks about eating meat and how that can cause people, in the respect that he's talking about, it can cause them to offend. Now, let's read the text very carefully. At the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Apostle Paul says, if meat makes my brother to offend, I won't eat while the world standeth. Now, he didn't say, if I eat meat and you're a vegetarian and I offend you, I'm not going to eat meat. Now, that's not what he meant. And that's not what he said. He says, if by me eating meat causes someone else to offend God, that's the really sense of the text. And you and I should be very concerned about the things that we say and the things that we do and it causing someone else to offend God. That's more important. It's worse to offend God than to offend a person. You know, I could say something on Facebook and get everyone stirred up and mad and saying all kinds of bad things. I could do it. There are some hot buttons right now, boy, you could push them. But you would be causing people to offend God by doing that. We got to be very careful about the things we say, the things we do, that we're leading other people down a sinful path. I'll tell you, if we want to go on, stay on the right path, we follow the guidance of the counsel of God. You know, Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have told you," and this is the minister. In fact, if you'll turn me to Isaiah chapter 30, I want to notice with you what he says here in the 30th chapter of Isaiah. In fact, before we go there, Psalm 32. I've got to get this text, or I'm going to go home in a bad mood because I forgot. I'm going to get it while it's on my mind, or I'm going to forget it, and I've got to get you to this text. It's a minister's responsibility to provide the counsel from God. Apostle Paul says, "I did that." Told the elders of Ephesus, he did that. In Psalm 32, verse 8, this is what God says. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." Now, this is what God says. He says, "I'll instruct you. I'm going to teach you in the way that you should go. Now, I'm going to tell you, God is the best teacher you'll ever have. He gives the best instruction that you'll ever get anywhere else. And in fact, if we would really trust God, Bible says in Proverbs 3, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. I've had some people, they'll say, well, all this stuff the doctors are telling us and this and they're telling us, but I can't turn my brain off. Well, no one wants you to turn your brain off, but we need to not lean onto our own understanding as much as we need to trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And what? He'll direct your path. He shall direct your path. He will instruct you. He will teach you in the way that you should go. And He will guide you. How? With His eye. Now, how does God guide us with His eye? Well, that's a very interesting thought-provoking thing. God says He'll guide us with His counsel. He'll guide us with His eye. And how does He guide us with His eye? Well, I think the first thing that we need to understand, and we don't have time to get into more than the first thing, I don't think, is to understand where God's looking. And what's He looking at? If we can see where God's looking, what He's looking at, I think we'll receive guidance just by doing that. If you go to Genesis chapter 9, you'll find that when Noah and his family came out of the ark, many things happened there. But one of the things happened that we still see today. God says, I'll put my bow in the clouds. And let's notice very carefully. Now, we are blessed to look at that rainbow in the clouds and remember what happened at the flood and what God promised. But notice very carefully in Genesis chapter 9, verse 16, God said, I will put my bow in the clouds. And what did He say? And when I see it, I will remember the covenant that I made. That rainbow is a blessing for us to see, but it's not there for you and I to see as much as it is for God to see. God looks at the rainbow and He remembers the promise that He made. He remembers. He sees it. Where's God looking? He's looking at the rainbow. Now, what does God look at? He's looking at a token of a promise that He made. And I'll tell you, the Bible is full of promises that God has made. And you and I need to be looking at those promises. Look at the promises of God. Isaiah chapter 66, last chapter of Isaiah, verse 2. God says, I will look unto him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit. You know, Brother Joe mentioned the 99 and the one that had gone astray. I believe that that's sad when someone goes astray. It should be sad to us, sad to the Lord. Lord goes out, as a good shepherd does, to seek those that have gone astray. And we should try to, too. But God looks at those who are of a poor and a contrite spirit. You know, that's not valued here in this world. What's valued is being strong and prideful and standing up for yourself. Now, God is looking at the poor and the contrite spirit. And we should be too. We should be looking there too. There's guidance in following God's eye. But the text says, thou shalt guide us with thy counsel. And so much more could be said about God guiding us and the counsel of God. And the Bible has a lot in that. But I don't want to say that next part. He says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward, receive me to glory. I'll tell you, we have something good to look forward to this morning and in each day of our life. And what happens next? Where do we go from here? I'll tell you, when this life is o'er and I'm here no more, I'll live on somewhere. Where? Glory is the way he describes it. Turn me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. And notice what Apostle Paul tells the church here what is going to happen. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Colossians 3, verse 4. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I tell you, this is what you have to look forward to afterward. It's afterward, when Christ comes back again, you'll appear with him in glory. In glory. Now, the Bible tells us that our natural body is sown in weakness, it's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. We come out of the grave with a glorified body that is like to the body that Jesus had, like his glorious body, the Bible teaches us. And the Bible says that whom he justified, them he also glorified. You and I have glory to look forward to, not only on the outside, but also in the inside. Romans 8, verse 18. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You'll have glory on the outside, glory on the inside, and you'll be a changed person. But that text has more reference to where you're going. He will receive you to glory. That's a place. There's a place. We read of a place called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. It's a place that no man's hands built. It's a city whose builder and maker is God. It is a place that is eternal in the heavens. This is the place. That song we sang this morning, Victory in Jesus, he talks about the mansions over there. Talks about the sea, the crystal sea over there. Talks about all the things that he's prepared for us. He's prepared that for us. Glory. That's what it awaits you and I. It says afterward, he will receive us. He'll receive us to glory. He'll receive us. Now, why will he receive us? I want to go to three places and I'm going to close. That's going to have to happen very fast. Psalm 24, he says this in the 24th Psalm. That word glory means, in fact, there's several definitions, but in the sense of the verse that we're looking at, it means heaven. But glory itself, the word means worthy of praise. That's worthy of praise. You will be worthy of praise because you'll be glorified by God. That city is worthy of praise because its beauty, the streets of gold, all the things about it, it's worthy of praise. Psalm 24 tells us about a person called the King of Glory. Notice Psalm 24, verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Now, this is a place that has doors that are everlasting. This is a place that I'm going to say, submit for your consideration, is heaven. It says, lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. I believe this King of Glory coming in is quite an event when he comes into heaven. Notice verse 8. Who is this King of Glory? It says, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Now, I want you to picture for a moment Jesus' triumphant entrance into heaven after he'd been here on earth, fighting the hard battle and winning. He arose victorious out of the grave, and then he ascended up, and the apostles saw him go. And then where did he go? This text is telling us what happened in heaven when he came in. The triumphant, conquering King of Glory. He's the Lord, strong and mighty in battle. The Lord, mighty in battle. Mighty to save. Verse 9. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Now, wait a minute. Did we just read that in verse 7? Yes, we did. It sounds like a repeat, doesn't it? Verse 10. Who is this King of Glory? Well, they asked that question back in verse 8, but the answer is different now. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Now, wait a minute. The answer is different. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be different when the Lord comes back into heaven. There's two times he comes into heaven. First time, he's coming alone, strong and mighty in battle. But the second time, it's the second time. When the Lord comes back into heaven, He's not coming alone. Did you catch that? It's the Lord of hosts. He's got a great host with Him the second time He comes in. Now turn me to Hebrews chapter 2 and notice what it says here. Notice it says, afterward we'll be received. Received. Oh. You know, there are some people that probably would not be welcome in your home. Now, Brother Joe mentioned some people that don't have any problem with abortion. And there are some political candidates that seem to be in favor of that. If they showed up at my doorstep, I'm not going to say that I would pull a gun on them or anything. But I just wouldn't welcome them inside. We fundamentally disagree on so many things. I just wouldn't receive them into my house, you understand? Not that I have any problem with them as a person. I don't want to be unkind, but we wouldn't get anywhere. They wouldn't convince me of anything, and I don't think I'd convince them. And I just don't feel like they'd be well received. And there are other people that I could mention. I'm not getting details of that. Not really something I like to think about. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes into heaven, the Bible says nothing shall come into it that will defile or make a lie. There are some things that will not be received into heaven. I'll tell you, you and I, in our present state, in our present sinful circumstance, we would not be received into heaven. We would defile heaven if we showed up. We are still sinners. We still have this corruption, and we can't even look on God right now and survive the experience. We are not in a position to be in heaven. But the Bible tells us that according to the Lord's choice in Ephesians 1 verse 4, we are chosen in Christ before the world began to be with Him holy and without blame before Him in love. We will be in a position one day to see Him as He is. We'll be like Him. We don't know what that'll be like, but we'll be like Him. We'll see Him as He is. We'll be holy and without blame before Him in love. But I'm going to tell you what helps you in order to be received different places is who comes with you. I remember one time years ago, I was trying to get an appointment to the Air Force Academy and needed a certain congressman to help out with that. I never met him and I really couldn't get in touch with him or an appointment with him, but I knew some people. I knew some people that knew him personally. And when I went with them, it was different. I'm going to tell you, when you go into heaven, you may say, well, I'm nervous. Well, I won't know anybody there. I won't know how to be. You know, I'm nervous. Well, I'm going to tell you, put your mind at ease what's going to happen. Notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 2. It says in verse 12, it's Jesus speaking, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's great comfort for the church today. Verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now, I want you to focus on that statement. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Who's making that statement? Jesus. Who's he making that statement to? God. When's he making that statement? When the Lord of hosts comes into heaven after he comes back again with all the people. He's going to make a presentation there of all of his people and saying, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. There's going to be a presentation to the Father. And you're going to be received into heaven because he's going to be bringing you with him into heaven. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. God gave him a work to do. Here's the people. They're given to you. You've got to save them and you've got to cleanse them and you've got to do all this for them to be holy and without blame for him and love. And he's going to show up into heaven with us and he's going to make this presentation. And you want to talk about being received if you're going in with Jesus. You will be received. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We'll be accepted because of what Jesus has done. We'll be accepted because He's bringing us. And I noticed some very important things about this statement. Jesus always referred to his Father as Father, except for two times. And this is the other one. He's coming into heaven as one of us. As one of us. That is a precious statement. Behold, I and the children which God has given me. And third place, Matthew 25. When the King in all his glory shall come, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall separate them as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he's going to say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're going to be received to glory, to a kingdom, an inheritance prepared for you from the foundation of heaven. What a blessing to think about being on His right hand, the same hand that the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. We'll be on the right hand in heaven, inheriting the kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. We'll be received to glory. Until that day comes, may the Lord help us to follow the guidance of His counsel. His counsel. He's our guide. I've been on some tours before where we were touring the Atlanta Braves facility in Atlanta. And we thought they were going to take us into the locker room. We'd always heard about that. And they didn't. And the reason they did is they said, they still have their personal items in their lockers, and those things tend to end up missing when they bring tours in the locker room. People grabbing souvenirs as they go through. And so we don't take you in there because of thieves that come and do that. Well, there were some people hanging behind doing different things on that tour. I can understand that. But I'll tell you, when it comes to the guidance of the Lord, you and I need to be walking hand in hand right there beside Him all the days of our life. May the Lord help us to do that. I thank you for your good attention this morning.